you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island opens its gates April 20th.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Guess what decision we're about to make?
Horrible decision.
Welcome, guys, to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Don't do this.
What? We have a white person in the building yet again.
The token white person.
Y'all know I love doing that, but also we also just talked about how actually dope you are and not really like everyone else, so we'll get into that. But before we do, I'm your girl, Mandy V, a.k.a. Pit the Stallion, a.k.a. Pegan Markle, a.k.a. Mandy Baskins, a.k.a. Dead Beach.
Mandy loves to go with her pegging a.k.a.s, but she claims, oh my God, I don't even do that anymore.
I mean, I'm trying. I ain't gonna hold you. I've been traveling a lot. And do you know how much I've been traveling? So much so to where every time, I don't even take it out now, my luggage, the strap is there. Because it's nothing to buy a dildo, but straps be like 80 to 150 for the good ones. Uh-huh. And mine has like the Velcro. Mine just hugs my thighs.
Is it like blinged out?
It's not blinged out, but the last time that I was in L.A., the guy that I peg, and I really enjoy pegging, I didn't have my strap. He came over. He didn't bring the last dildo we bought. It's nothing to really purchase a dildo, right? And I was just like, bro, I don't have my strap. You could just stay home. It was pointless to even see him. So now, because I don't want to experience that again, I literally do not take the strap out of my luggage.
Strap, no love.
You know. There we go.
That's a good one. Well, my name is Wheezy, and I would say it's the same for me, but maybe with my charging pack, I just leave that in. The fuck? Nina's toys. I'm trying to think, though, like...
You're such a mom. Not you saying my dog's toys.
It's true. Your Instagram stories are, like, all Nina.
Hello.
Nina on the plane. Nina in first class on Delta
That's
One.
That's how I can flex that I'm in first class.
It's all, I know, really.
Okay, no, no, no.
No, it's always Nina in front of the Delta One check-in.
Because here's the thing. I feel like it's not, it's very uncouth if you post that you're laying down in first class. Like, okay, bitch.
Uncouth? Oh, it does.
I would never be in first class. Like,
yeah, you can't. You literally post that you're in first class, like, every other day.
But I do it with the dog, so then people are like,
it's like just the dog. It's just her. Fine. Mm-hmm. Well, do you know, apparently I heard that Valentino, the designer, has like a whole half of his airplane just for his dogs. How many dogs?
Like, apparently there's 12.
That's ridiculous.
No, they travel in their own car.
That's a fucking basketball team. No, they need their own plane, actually.
Paris Hilton's got 6.
No, he has 12. They travel, like, not even first class, like, in their own half of a private plane. They travel in their own car. I think they're, like, getting the money.
Is there a documentary on this?
I gave you all those props.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely trash.
They'll put the mic to the dog, like, and what does he do? We have a very special guest today who was on our show years ago. You just said 5 years ago.
5 years ago. Yeah.
Liz Goldwyn. I've always called you founder of the sex ed, but then I remember you were telling me when you were doing press for your book, you were like, oh my God, please don't say I'm a podcaster. So what are all the things that you do? Because I want to talk about that as to why you're so knowledgeable for this book, to make a book about this.
I'm an author. This is my third book, actually.
This subtle flex. Okay, excuse me.
It wasn't subtle.
Third book?
It was,
yeah. Third, but
it was
like,
just as much as the Nina in first class.
Yeah. I'm an author. I started out at Planned Parenthood working in the clinic when I was 13. So I've been
doing what at 13?
Answering phones, okay. Organizing the media library, like playing solitaire on the computer.
Telling the protesters, get your ass out there.
Seriously, they were always calling the clinic with bomb threats.
They were calling.
This was back in the day. Yeah. This was like pre-Google. So you couldn't look up like how to give a good blowjob or can you get pregnant from anal sex? So people would literally come in and like check out stuff from our media library, which it was my job to organize. And there were like pamphlets.
I remember the pamphlets because they were also very, very much in the school nurse office.
Yep.
And so literally even how to put on a condom. There were pamphlets for everything sex. Uh-huh. And you would have to go to the nurse's office.
But it was only like how to put on a condom. Don't get, like, if you have sex, you'll get pregnant or you'll get
and
AIDS
die.
And die. Yeah. It was like, there was nothing like there is now.
Did it scare you to have sex or did it make you feel like, now I have the tools so I can go fuck?
You know what? When I was that age, I was like answering questions at school that were like way beyond my skill set. I talk about this in the book because kids would ask me at recess questions about sex because I worked at Planned Parenthood. And they would, and I would always be like, oh, if you have a urinary tract infection, drink cranberry juice. And that also helped you beat a drug test if you were being tested for marijuana.
Wait, that's not true?
There's no way that's true.
They test your blood. Now they test your blood.
Well, no, they still make you pee in a cup. I didn't have to pee in a cup.
Okay, well, but cranberry,
the cranberry, did you tell them it had to be the concentrate, not the ocean spray? Because the ocean spray is their sugar shit.
Yeah, you don't want ocean spray. You want, like, really, you can take the cranberry pills. Actually, I think that everyone, if you're having a lot of sex, pro tip, that's a good thing to always travel with.
I ain't gonna hold you. I take them daily.
Yeah.
You take them with your strap.
No, I'm just saying, like, you should always have it on hand because I've been caught in an emergency situation, like in a foreign country where it's like hard to get cranberry juice.
But outside of that, when you have sex, like, there's been times where I know I just got fucked the shit out of, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm tired. But I also know I should go piss.
You gotta pee. Like,
if I ain't gotta pee and I'm tired,
you have to pee.
So I'm like, I'm gonna just take a cranberry pill in the morning. But that's where, like,
that's your detox.
No, you gotta be.
But what if I go 3 rounds? Sometimes me and my man go 5. I'll try to piss, but towards the end, like, I done already pissed twice. We done win another round, and now I'm just gonna go to sleep.
Put that sippy cup next to the bed.
First off, I'm not pissing in a cup, okay? I will get up. The bathroom is right there.
I peed in so many cups. I don't know why.
Why are you peeing in cups?
I'm trying to think.
Where's the bathroom?
Oh, I know the last time I did. This is crazy. I can't even believe I'm about to say this. So I don't have bathrooms in my bedrooms in New York. And I had a friend of mine who was on the couch with this guy. And this was pandemic time when I was like the afties. I was the spot during the pandemic to hang. And so I had to pee really bad, but I didn't want to break their stride because I could hear them about to fuck. And I was like looking around my room like, what am I going to do? So I just drank the rest of my drink, which made me even more drunk, and I peed in the cup. And I remember being so embarrassed.
Because pee in a cup in your own crib is crazy.
Because they were about to fuck, and I was also...
crazy.
I was high as fuck, and I was like, damn, I'm going to have to end up having a... if I get out there. Like, I didn't know what to do. So I just peed in the cup. But I remember in the morning when I woke up, I saw the pee and I was like, now I got to bring it out and everybody sleeping in my living room is going to see me holding this cup. It was awful. Okay, anyway, about
your Planned Parenthood, what else? We're still going down your resume, by the way.
Ooh, talk about the Pornhub thing you just did.
Yeah, well, that's like flash forward a number of years.
Okay.
So you want me to go
let's go
back
chronological.
To the future?
Right, chronological, fuck it.
Okay, so at Planned Parenthood, and then when I was moved to New York when I was like 16, and I started collecting burlesque costumes that I would get at the flea market. And I ended up writing a book and my first book and making a movie that I sold to HBO called Pretty Things about the last generation of American burlesque queens and the advent of strippers. And all these people, especially because I do come from like a Hollywood family, they were like, why do you care about these dead strippers? No one's going to care about this. This was pre like Pussycat Dolls, by the way. Pre Christina Aguilera.
Pre Coyote Ugly.
Post Coyote Ugly.
Post Coyote Ugly. Okay.
But Coyote Ugly wasn't really like...
Lady Marmalade? Marmalade? Gucci.
What year did that come out? I don't remember what year that came out.
Gucci. That was such a good song.
Wait, you don't know the year that you did it?
No, I don't know the year Lady Marmalade came out.
Because I feel like it became mainstream when they came out in there.
Yeah.
So this year was 2001.
Okay, so that was after. Mine came out 2005.
Okay.
The first movie and the book came out 2005.
Okay.
So I was like photographing myself in these burlesque costumes and then like learning about burlesque and sex from these 80-year-old women who had been stars of the 1930s and 40s. And at the time, I was like a young married woman, literally having my like sexual like awakening through these like 80-year-old women. It was pretty wild, actually.
Wow.
Because I was like kind of like a 1950s housewife.
Like, you give a 1950s vibe.
I am a 1950s housewife.
You're like, this is 1950s, but they wouldn't have let you wear the leather skirt back then.
Well,
oh, maybe.
If I was a bad girl.
Ooh.
For my honeymoon, I went to Trashy Lingerie in LA and I had like housewife outfits made. Like, you know, like that was like my role play was that I was just
really.
Yeah. Cause I was a terrible housewife, actually. Like I didn't know how to cook. I was really into like making the bed. No, actually, I didn't make the bed.
You were a housewife with no housewife skills.
I was like 18 when I met him.
I could suck a dick. All right.
Yeah. I was good.
what would you rather have?
I mean, would you rather have a girl that goes to Trashy Lingerie and has like a full like pretend housewife, like little maid? It was like a maid's uniform.
Also, I love that you can actually live into the like, oop, I didn't clean this right. Beat me up.
Let me push the vacuum like back and forth in one spot for an hour.
I cannot imagine you doing role play.
Well, I mean, I feel like it's kind of funny.
It is. I'm too goofy.
I ain't gonna hold you. Y'all ain't get to see it on camera. She lifted her whole leg and showed us the bottom of her. Look, I sense role play as soon as you were like, you don't like my fishnets.
You just get so in your head that I'm trying to imagine him asking you a question in the middle of role play that you can't answer. That's my greatest like
fear.
Ooh, with role play. Like, what if I can't finish? Like, we're having Kiki Palmer on, right? And we did a little role play with her. And, like, I was like, fuck, she's just too quick. It felt like improv. And then I was stuck.
Yeah, I'm not, like, don't put me in the role play mistress category.
You just want to be quiet and bend over in your outfit.
Well,
that's what I want to do.
Yeah, sometimes.
I don't want to do no talking. No narrative is given. Let's play music in the background.
No narrative.
Silent movie happening here. Okay, so you created this book that then turned into a film.
The film came out first with HBO, and then the book came out and called Pretty Things, The Last Generation of American Burlesque Queens. And then while I was researching that, I was always really fascinated with sex workers. Like from the time I was a kid. Yeah. Like always obsessed thinking about if I was born in another time period, what would be my choices as a woman?
Mm.
Because no matter what, having a vulva would like dictate what I was allowed to do. Right?
Yes and no, girl. I was born in the 90s and still chose to do some things.
I'm talking about if you're born 100, 200, 500 years ago.
Now, we always talk about prostitution being also the oldest.
Yeah. The oldest career, the oldest work, the oldest job. And so, like, I was just always fascinated with, like, also curious why did society condemn women for often back then, like, taking one of the few choices available to them.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't feel like they should be shamed for that. The same way that I looked at burlesque and was like, these women were performing artists and they had like incredible costumes and choreography and music and they really worked on their routine. They spent a ton of money on their costumes too, like $3,000 back then. Like in the 1930s.
And that's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
My homegirl
just spent a lot of money.
Medina, they just did a burlesque show in the in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And it was whole burlesque theme. She had a beautiful, like a velvet skirt with a corset top.
Yeah.
And she paid almost $300 for her costume.
Yeah.
And it's one of those like, you keep it, you buy it. But she's like, where am I going to wear this again to?
But that's on the cheap end.
That's on the cheap end. And it was still like $300 for an outfit.
Yeah.
Mind you, titties are out. It's literally from here down. Whole titties are showing. She had to put my nipples out. Like, whole titties. To me, it's like, girl, that's half a dress. That's not even a whole dress but $300. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just didn't like the shame that was being put onto sex workers.
I don't like shame put onto sex, period. I don't like shame put onto women. I don't like shame put onto anyone. I think we like live in a culture of shame. So yeah, like that was my second book, which was the last one, came out in 2015, was historical fiction about vice and sex work in LA in the 1890s.
What's it called?
Sporting Guide.
Sporting Guide.
Yeah, because it was legal in certain areas back then, including in Los Angeles. And on the old real maps of LA, it says House of Ill Fame.
Well, that's also why a lot of the porn is still shot in like the valley in certain areas in LA, right?
This is way pre-porn.
Oh, wait.
1890s.
Oh, shit. Pre-TV.
Not 1980s.
I think you're in 1980s. Oh,
pre-radio.
How the hell they found that? Like, how did you find that information?
On the map, bitch. They unfolded it.
People just having sex in the 1890s in this part of LA. Like, how do you...
Because I'm a nerd. This is what I get off on. Like, all of my I guess
Ooh,
my fantasy...
was your pussy wet?
Like, literally, I'm in the library, like, looking up microfiche records, like, adjusting my glasses.
What's microfiche?
Right. What is it?
That's, I'm a nerd.
Yeah, like, girl, I don't know big words.
Microfiche is like, it's like film records, like records that are on film, basically. And you have to like roll through them.
Yeah,
to
you
look
are
at
the
shit.
Black sheep.
No, I love like a card catalog. Like, give me a fucking card catalog, the Dewey Decimal System. I love a library. Like, I just am a nerd that likes to get lost in research, whether that's like first person research, like I love talking to anyone and hearing their stories, or like, being like, I wonder what happened in like 1874.
You know what's hot about this? A lot of girls like to say they're a nerd. Like, you know what I mean? On their like dating profiles.
I'm such a nerd.
But like, you are.
Yeah, no, I know.
So when you wrote,
I'm a nerd who can also recite most of the lyrics to Two Lives Crew.
That's because you have an All Lives Matter pussy, Liz. You do.
Wait, do I have an All Lives Matter
pussy? You fit the diaspora in there. You show me a guy, I don't know what he's going to look like. Like, I don't
have a type.
Oh, you don't have a type at all?
I don't have a type.
One had dreads, no. one was lengthy.
She has a type. She is a type, like alternative is your type.
Oh yeah, they look poor. We talk about this all the time. And then this bitch, everyone, all of my friends have met like just a few people that are around. And they're like, bitch, they all look like cousins. Apparently, even though they're all black, they're like, nope, they all look Middle Eastern or Dominican. Or like they could be in the Arabian Sea somewhere. Like, I'm just like,
ooh, the Arabian Sea.
I'm like, they're just Muslim. Like, what the fuck? From Harlem, what do you want from me?
That is a type then.
First off, I can't help the niggas from Harlem like me. You know what I mean?
Muslim specifically?
I do be getting them and I don't know why. That's why for Halloween, I dressed up as a bacon and said, this is the only meat Muslims eat right here, baby.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, no.
No, I have no type. You couldn't, like, categorize.
And do you like women as well?
I'm definitely attracted to women, but I feel like I'm pretty heteronormative.
Okay.
Yeah. But that said, I feel like in my 60s, I'm going to get into some thruple shit.
Why do you say that?
I don't know, because I just feel like that's when I'm going to get really wild. That's when I'm.
Are you keeping yourself from being wild right now because you're so professional as an author?
Oh no, not at all, not at all.
I wonder, like,
I just like don't want to. I feel like a lot of times people think you stop having sex at a certain age or like life is an adventurous, and I don't think we should live like that.
Do you think
like
I want to be having sexier though?
100%. I feel like I'm having way better sex now than I did when I was like in my 20s.
Same. And I'm only in my 30s and I'm like, it's way better than my 20s.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, it's getting better. I know more of what I want. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you say that too, because we went to Hedonism a couple years ago. And
I remember when you guys went.
The amount of couples though that were like, hey, we've been here 15 times. We've been here 25 times. And they were all well into their, at least the white people that were there. There was a black party that was there as well. But all of the white people that were there were literally like well into their 50s, I would say, mm-hmm. couple wise. And they were like, we've been doing this. And they, you could tell like they love it.
I was just explaining at Barstool on a podcast what senior sex, like senior, the senior sex porn genre. No, and a girl senior in the corner porn. Just made the face that you did. Like,
what's senior sex ew. Porn?
I've watched it just for like research. And the only thing I've
just
noticed.
Just for research?
Just for research.
She, I like it. She be liking this weird shit, this is,
I don't want to sound like an ageist, but like, I can watch old guy, young girl, but sometimes watching older women makes me think of my mom. But when I was, it really does. I can't explain it. It makes me think.
Okay,
mom.
But what about the fact that we're all going to look like that one day?
Oh,
like,
girl,
I don't look like that yet.
You're just going to be out. You're going to just peace out after a certain age and not have sex.
We all look like children at one point as well. That doesn't mean I'm going to like look at kid porn. Like, no. You know,
whoa. You just took I'm it to saying, some I mean, other
I'm
level.
Just saying.
You just took it to some look other
like
me level.
Now. But even the same, like to me then with say the, and we were talking with Cinnamon Love about this. There's even still this very popular genre, not bringing it to kids, but barely legal. And I still watch gay porn. I don't like twink categories.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like males not looking like men. I don't like the very small bodied men or men that just look like they just got out of high school. So even like the barely legal category, even though, yeah, we've all been 18, 19, 20, we've been fucking since we were 16, you know?
Yeah.
But I still don't want to see the barely legal category either, or the twinks in gay porn.
Yeah,
I want you to barely be, legal to category like too. At first, I used to think it was the young face, and then I started to like understand. Oh, it's just like this innocent thing. It's the outfits sometimes. It's the even the cardigan, right?
I don't know
it's
what
like,
I'm doing.
Like that's it.
That's
what it is.
That and
teach
of course,
me, daddy.
And
that
course,
is hot.
Oh well, look, you want to be taught. You want to be
me,
led.
Mommy.
See, look, all you gotta do is teach daddy and mommy, bitch. Now you watch a senior citizen.
Stop it! I don't know how to do role play.
I'm when not they say G-mom, they no. be like, "Come on, granddad."
I'm not saying like. I'm just saying like. I think we should like. Think about it, because why are we so afraid of like getting older, and why does everybody think that sex is just going to stop at a certain age? Because that's a bummer.
They do think
like
that, yeah.
That's why I'm saying I want to be wild in my 60s, because I want to be showing people. I want to be like turning up with like my hot thruple or whatever. Maybe I'm with, I don't know, who knows what I'm going to be
into.
Can
I ask you why you say that as you get older you would consider the thruple? And I only ask that because in terms of like marriage and long-term relationships, right? That's mm-hmm. a lot of our goals, at least to be with a at least one partner, you know? Mm-hmm. And where I've heard a lot of people in either long-standing relationships or marriage, the sex just plummets. Maybe because they're getting bored with each other. So you saying that you don't even really like women, why would you consider a thruple relationship later on and not now?
Because I feel like you can't knock things till you try it if you stay open.
Okay.
And so I like to just live my life with that attitude in general, even outside of sex. To just like try new things. And I think that's important to not just get like complacent and like sit in the same old shit. And that's why it suffers. Sex suffers in long-term relationships. In my marriage, we were together for 13 years. I didn't have that problem. But that's because what I do is like study sex all day.
Why don't you think you had that problem though?
That's what I do.
But I mean, like what were you doing actively that like pulled it out? Because at the same time, like the same guy, you're used to having the same, like how did you actually do it?
I mean, it was a while ago now, but I think it was because I think, you know how most people have discipline around areas of their life that they want to improve in, like whether it's like you do your workout, like, or you eat certain things or whatever it is, you meditate, whatever it is. But like people don't do that with sex. They think it's just supposed to like be good automatically, or like you meet someone. Most people don't like aren't actively disciplined about like taking the same time and the focus that they would to like their gym routine or their diet or anything else.
I don't think
they
I
do with
that
sex
either, really,
which is shocking. I mean, considering that this is also what you guys do.
Had a partner who like was more focused on that, like after sex stretching, making sure like my hips were and that's like a thing now, like I like intimacy, give it to me baby, but like where like my hips or stuff, if he knew he really like fucked the shit out of me, it would be like, well, I don't want you to be hurt after this. I want you to still, if I come over tonight, for us to still be able to go at it. And another thing that we really talked about was what we put into our bodies. So I shared with a lot of the men on here. He drank a lot of beet juice, which allowed the blood flow to stay. We talked about recently watermelon juice.
About the same thing? Because the intimacy isn't switching it up to me. You're talking about actively trying something different.
Well, not only actively trying something different, but taking care of you as a person and what you bring into the bedroom too, no?
I feel like that I could do. I feel like I've always been able to like take care of my body and be a good partner and bring my A game. But actively being new, like trying something new, discovering new sex and like making it a focus.
That's been hard.
I don't know if I'm really doing that.
When you bring in other people, would you not say that's adding adventure?
Threesomes are still something that you've already done. Like I was thinking.
I feel like I feel like you're kind of always changing it up and trying new things.
Because they're new guys, Liz. Let's just get on that.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Brought to you by Microsoft Surface, powering a better game.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island opens its gates April 20th.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
I'm going to ask you our favorite question to ask everyone.
Okay.
You had to pick, eat ass or suck toes.
Is the ass clean or dirty?
Of course,
they're both clean.
It's a clean
they're
ass.
Both clean.
They're both clean. I don't know. I kind of might have a toe fetish. Might have a toe sucking fetish.
What? Eventually.
I don't know. Just when you said it just now,
you're like, ooh, let me put a big toe in my mouth.
You know, if it's like a clean toe,
like no callus toe. We always say eat it. I don't know what it is. Even
I'm gonna eat ass. Clean. I mean, clean. I'll do both now. Like,
I guess Mandy's discovered.
Oh yeah, no. Like, I literally like have recently. This was had a foot by my face, and instead of like, because he was like really fucking me, and his leg was up by my head, and I just went over and started licking the side of his toe and. Like made his foot come towards my mouth and put it in my mouth.
We're gonna call her Galileo since you discover a new shit. Okay. So finding the love of your life and never getting to travel with them, or being single forever and traveling the world.
Finding the love of my life and never getting to travel.
Oh, what you're a hopeless romantic.
I'm such a romantic. I believe in love.
Not me. Bitch, I'm traveling. I still ain't been to Greece, bitch. I want to go everywhere. I do not give a fuck.
But you know what, though?
I can go with my friends. And this has, like, been a problem with my relationships.
Being single forever?
Bitch. And I was single my whole 20s, bitch, if you think about it. I just got in my first relationship. And as much as I loved it, I realize how much my friends still come first. As long as my friends don't go anywhere and we can travel the world together, I'm fine. My
maybe
family's good.
Maybe because you fuck your friends.
I do, but not all of them.
But I'm saying, like, maybe that's why I don't have that.
You can travel, but you can never have sex.
Oh, bitch, first off, I would never not want to have sex.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but sex over traveling? Or I can travel everywhere, but no sex?
You can travel everywhere with no sex. Or you find love of your life. You have the best sex of your life, but you have to stay in, like, you know.
New York?
Yeah.
I can never not get fucked again. I think I'd kill myself. Sorry if we had to put a trigger warning for that. I just don't, like, it reminds me of when I was on Lexapro and I couldn't come. I was like, wow, I don't want to die, but I can't come. And one outweighed the other, and that's why I got off.
Oh, yeah, I ain't gonna hold you. Like, my mom has been around me for the holidays, and I'm cranky, and she'd be like, do you need to go fuck somebody? Because I don't like this little attitude you got right now. Like, I literally get cranky when I don't fuck. So, yeah, I think that's bad.
You're not traveling.
I'm not traveling.
Okay.
Damn, Greece.
So, see, I found a Vanilla Shit article that I thought would be really cool because you and I have talked about our love languages. And apparently, I don't know yours, but your love language can tell you about how you argue and fight. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that.
Ooh.
Yours are acts of service, right?
That's what I like to receive. However, my love language now in showing my love is 100% physical touch and gift giving. So how I give is different than what I like to receive. Right now it is acts of service as to what I want to receive.
So
I did this quiz and I don't just have one love language is what it turned
That's
out.
That's why I said mine is gift giving and physical touch.
I think mine's gift, physical touch. And by the way, gift giving.
And words of affirmation. I like that too. I like it all.
Yeah, my nigga don't like that. I be telling them how fine they are. They don't care. I think they know.
No, because men like to be feed, fucked, and flattered.
Feed,
you
gotta
feed, fuck, and flatter them.
And we used to say the three S's: feed me, fuck me, finance me.
Yeah, so feed, fuck, and flatter.
That's you.
No, I'm saying that's what men, they need to be feed, fucked, and flattered. And you know where women trip up the most?
Is flattering them?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
It's flattering them.
Well, it's because bitches like medium ugly niggas. We just talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Oh my God.
I don't know why y'all like these ugly niggas. You can't flatter an ugly nigga.
Yes, you can.
You can always find something to flatter about someone.
Ooh, I like that t-shirt. Good. No, that, it looks good on you.
Not something like that. You could be like, you really know how to handle a car. Whatever those.
You know,
like,
I just said that. Wait, yeah. Do you know I just said that?
You said you know how
literally
to handle a car.
Hold on.
What was it, a stick shift?
No, and the nigga laughed at me. The man, sorry, let me stop saying the N-word. Y'all gonna get on me like, y'all got a white woman and she keep dropping the N-bomb. So, sorry, they gonna come for me. But no, I literally, so my little friend or whatever, he got like a big truck. And so I literally
he has
just
a big truck.
So I literally just told him, we didn't even start drinking. And
like a pickup truck?
Oh, big baby. Big old thing. And so he was like, in New York, you got a parallel park. And I said, this is going to sound really crazy, but it turns me on so much how you fit this big old truck into these little spaces.
Yeah.
I literally told him that. And he was like, bro, why are you being like, he was not. But I was like, oh, I never told you this, but it turns me on.
It is kind of
hot,
though.
I said, the way you be whipping this thing, oh, it turned me on. Because in Florida, motherfuckers don't know how to.
No, he whips it like a Prius, probably.
Oh, my God. And then, of course, I put it like he fits this big old thing in tight spot.
I mean, I like a man who can, like, use his hands to build things, like, who's, like, useful.
Same.
Who can, like, build me some shelves or, like,
that
fix some shit around the house.
Mandy
that
has service, right? We're tired right now. I'm hearing Mandy about some fucking taking out the trash.
Take out the trash, baby.
All right, so words of affirmation. This, to me, is super interesting because this is how you fight. So you rely and are motivated by words of affirmation, external sources, well, particularly someone you care about, making you feel good through reassurance, which means you're most sensitive to people's words, the critical ones especially, about your opinions and your actions. Fighting can make you feel miserable because you hate ugly language and heated arguments as the worst case scenario. You're not quick to forgive, not to be dramatic, but it may take a while before words of reassurance from your partner feel like they last. Is that true?
For me personally?
Yes.
I'm like actually trying to work on, I write about it in the book in the chapter called Mindful Communication. I am really trying to work on my temper and the way I communicate in an argument. And like, especially when I'm pissed off and resentful at someone, like I'm really trying to like drop my ego and like listen and not be defensive. Because I feel like a lot of times when we're listening to someone, we're immediately planning our response, in our head. Like instead of taking them in, especially like if it's a conversation where they're introducing like even sexually an idea or maybe they're interested in another person, that immediately we're going to be like, fuck you. You know, I can't believe you're saying this, but I'm trying to be like a bit more.
And we ask for honesty, but then we don't handle it the way that they would appreciate it.
Because we feel rejected or abandoned or all those things. I'm trying to be like more zen.
The best thing that I think I've been able to do is not feel stupid in an argument. Like, ask questions, whether they sound like they're super simple or not. And also, like, when you say taking ego out of it, like, platonically or professional, like, I'm trying my best to, like, if someone says something and they're the type of person to feel like they won, because you can argue with a guy or a woman and you're in a relationship and they need to let you know what I mean? Like, they're the top dog. I kind of just let it go.
Yeah.
Because I can't change your personality. But if you are right, and I can acknowledge that, at least next time, I can work towards you giving me the same grace. But it's like, I've definitely dated men that are just so up their own ass that they just know what they're saying is right. And so immediately, because they're those types of people, I just am like, no.
They think they know that
I'll give you the credit when
right.
you are right. That's like my thing now. Fuck it. What can I do? Like, life's too short.
And that's the problem about dating, I would say, older men. Even with my ex and even talking to older men that I've been talking to recently. Like, I've been in therapy for the last 2 years. And so, like, I'll let them know things they need to work on. And older men, specifically older Black men, I notice, are so against therapy because they feel like, I've been this way for this many years and it got me this far. I'm comfortable with who I am. Mm-hmm. I even have this conversation with my friends, like how their partners just won't seek help even in terms of just knowing how to communicate with a partner. Like, I'm not bashing you as much as I feel like this is something you should work on. And a lot of people not receiving
therapy
even that bit
uncovers
of
a lot of shit.
Yeah, but that's really stigmatized still.
It is.
The therapy,
it
especially
is.
For men.
It is.
Especially for men. And then I know a lot of white guys who are like obsessed with therapy and they literally will go, like, go to therapy twice a week.
Just to gaslight it, huh?
They literally like to like talk about themselves. And I'll be like, it's not working for you. You need
you're
to go.
You're just chatting for
I'm like, literally. I'm like, you're paying someone to just talk about yourself for an hour twice a week and is not fucking working because you're still a man child who has mommy issues. So you need to see a somatic therapist. And they're like, what's that? I'm like, you're not in your body. They're like, what's that? Explain it to me. Teach me.
Put your cardigan on.
Put your glasses on.
So we have a hors d'oeuvre tip, but I feel like you've already given us a great tip about sex and it's discovering something new. So we have a new thing we've been doing with guests where they tell us a horror story, which is a terrible dating or
sex story. Yeah. Okay. I have a good one. Well, for me, it was a horror story. I was with my boyfriend and it was like 10 days into the relationship. And I used to be the kind of person where I literally would see someone, I'd be like, I want to fuck the shit out of them. And then I'd be in a relationship. Because as you and I have talked about, I cannot separate sex from love.
Me neither.
Cannot have casual sex. I just can't
Liz
do it.
Liz read me like a book basically when I told her about the skater guy. And as you guys know, his girlfriend showed up on the date and she was like, you can't fuck him again because you can't distinguish the two. Like, then she told me, this fucked me up. So after I had sex with him, I was sick for a week. But mind you, we were kicking it all night, fucked up, whatever. She's like, your body literally rejected him and you went
it
back
did.
For more.
It
what?
Did. She got sick for like a full
Does
week.
Does our bodies really do that with people?
Yes. Like, our bodies know things and our mind, our logic tries to disregard
and
it.
Pussy, that pussy got another brain
No, it
brain
does.
Down
like,
there.
Imagine the things that you feel in your
that
gut.
Was she thought with a pussy. That's what we have to be doing
I'm
a lot.
I'm telling you, though, I've never put two and two. Like, the fact that Mandy, when I tell you I was sick hours later, like, just.
Well, because the girlfriend showed up.
No,
this is the first time. This is the first time.
Oh.
I told you on Patreon. Maybe no one remembers.
Oh, wait, this is the same guy. I can't keep up with him.
I never had sex with him. I'm just playing. The skater guy fucked him. And then because we used all those condoms, then we went on that.
The date with the condom.
On the sex.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yep, yep.
No, I fucked him first. And it was amazing sex.
But you were sick for like a week.
I know. But I lost 6 pounds and it jump started my new work.
So see, didn't he bring something good into our life? Like, he helped with weight loss.
It was like shaking. No. It was bad.
You could just like lick a door handle.
Maybe it was his dick. But.
Well, oh, wait. So you were sick is like not where your vagina was broken, but where like you were
she was like
coughing,
sick.
Fever sick?
She was sick.
Wow.
Because our bodies tell us things all the time. We just don't listen. We all have intuitive wisdom in our bodies and we literally spend most of our time ignoring it. Ignoring those little signals. In fact, like when you talk to people who deal with like violence, like whether it's sexual violence or victims of violence, they'll often tell you, I had this strange feeling or I thought there was something off, but I want to be polite or I ignored it. You are your own best psychic, in fact, really. Like your body will tell you. And if you start to notice the cues, like, for example, like you can feel like, what's your stomach doing in a certain situation or your bowels?
Bitch,
like,
I just had tacos. I don't know what it's doing.
Okay, horror story.
Okay, horror story. So I was like 10 days into this relationship and we're 10 not-
10 days into like, a relationship? No, y'all are nuts.
I know. I'm telling you, it's like a problem. Like literally, it's what I do. I have no self-control. So I'm getting better. But we were still using condoms and the condom got stuck in my fucking cervix. It got stuck in my cervix.
Welcome to the club. Podcast started.
Yeah. So that had never happened to me before. I'm like trying to dig that shit out for 30 minutes.
Oh, I know that
in the bathroom. I'm like, I'm going to have to go to the hospital. It's going to be like, I have a fucking sex company. This is so humiliating. I'm like bleeding, trying to get this thing out. And then I finally get it out. I'm like, I'm never having sex again, which I did. I go to the gynecologist in between because that like forces the conversation basically about not using condoms, which was like a little early, but I was like, I'm scared to ever use a condom again. So I go to the gynecologist. That was like on a Saturday. I go to the gynecologist on Friday and she's like, oh, it's like a 1 in 100,000 chance that would ever happen again.
Don't worry, bitch.
Okay,
that shit happened to me about 4 times.
It happened to me the next day.
He wasn't wearing his size or something. He wasn't wearing his size.
No, I think
they were too big for him.
I was too wet.
You were too dry.
I was too wet, and I just.
My pussy stay doing that shit too. Like I done had it come off. Like. I'll tell it. Can you keep checking? Is it still there? Because it's something's feeling a little.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
That shit sucks.
It made me paranoid like that. Like you, please, let's check.
Oh, wait, happened
the
to
next
me,
day that I happened, used to keep. Did you have to pee it? Like, what did you?
The same thing.
You went back to the gynecologist?
No, I dug it out eventually. But like, it you was know what? Really he stressful.
He might have been rolling that thing off because he ain't wanted on his dick at all.
Well,
if that shit happened twice that quick,
yeah.
He was doing something. He ain't put it on right. Did you put it on or he put it on?
He put it on.
He ain't put it on right. And he did that shit on purpose.
No, because we had sex lots of times in between that. And it was like...
Well, it was
like,
10 days, girl.
Did he help you take it out?
No. He didn't help me take it out because it was like a one person
job. At least my man pulled out the cell phone flashlight and was trying to look up in my twat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure was.
I could feel the edge of it though. You know, when you can feel
the rib?
Just a little rib. And I was like, ugh. And then I was afraid it would like break off.
And then you get
and then I'd have
and
like,
you have, your nails were this short?
Stop. I can feel it. Ooh.
Were they that short?
I'm like humiliated. I'm like, my nails are not long right now. Oh. But
this is my first time having that long.
Oh, I love it. Well, these are short and it's still broke. I got to go to the salon and get it fixed. They don't make acrylic and gel like they used to. I'll tell you that. They just don't. It's cheaper now. I'm paying triple the price and the product is not the same.
Nails used to be so fucking
$25
cheap.
For a set and it lasts a month. Not anymore. Gotta go every goddamn 2 weeks.
So let's get back into sex.
Okay.
So I read the book in a PDF, which was so difficult. Even though you sent me a hard copy, I didn't want to tell you the truth. I thought I lost the book and my mom found it. So that was terrible. I did this whole thing of where I was like, I really want to read this book because Liz told me a story about someone who didn't read it that she cared about and like disregarded it. I was like, well, now I got to really read this shit. So she sent me a hard copy and I was getting into it, lost it. And my mom called me and she goes, I just found one of your sex books in the house. I was like, oh, it's my friend's. But in the middle of reading this book, I told you that a lot of feelings came out. Like, you did a lot of what do you call it? Like the follow-up questions and things like
that?
Yeah,
the exercises.
And I actually had to stop at one point because it was really making me think. And I think I picked my favorite topics from this because I thought Mandy and I definitely have brought up things that this could be useful with. So the first thing that I want to bring up that you had some good questions that made me stop was the filling the void chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Where you this is in what book again? If we could just let the audience
book,
know.
Yes. Sex, Health, and Consciousness, which is out now. Which
Sex,
you can,
Health, and Consciousness.
Sex, Health, and Consciousness.
I figured I made the title. So
I want, I want to elevate your consciousness. And on the cover of it, it says, free your mind and your ass will follow. Like the seminal.
Not a free asshole.
No, like George Clinton.
It didn't follow for me.
Like Parliament Funkadelic.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Like, buy your girlfriend this book and she'll listen to it.
Or listen to it. You can listen to it. I narrate it.
Oh, it's your.
It's my audiobook. Yeah,
this
I narrate it.
Look,
that's what she would.
Because
she can listen to the podcast.
Because I just finished doing it like 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
I love audiobooks.
Me too.
Yeah.
Especially when the author gets in there and it's their voice or
their voice.
It goes back and forth. Like, yeah. I love audiobooks as well.
Did Obama do his own?
I didn't hear Obama. Obama got a book?
I just have a thing about his voice. And it's just like, I feel like, ooh, that'd be a good one to listen to.
He is a married man. Look at you. Getting your rocks off.
It doesn't count as a fantasy. So was Jason Momoa. But you don't
He got no more. You saw
he's
that
not married anymore.
The way everybody said that ass to me. Ooh. Ooh. That ass.
Okay.
Sorry. Oh, booty hole freedom. let's get
back to it, Liz. Booty hole freedom. Okay. Filling the void. Can you talk about that chapter? Because I want to talk about maybe a moment where we've all done that. Because I know I have.
Yeah.
Filling the void in what way? Like
in any way, like you could fill the void with sex, with food, with drugs, with alcohol, with porn. It's kind of when you consume something mindlessly just because you're like anxious or you're lonely or you're feeling like bad about yourself. You're having like a moment of low self-worth. Like, have you ever just ate something like whatever, like two bags of chips or fucking pizza because you're just feel shitty and you kind of want to like literally fill that void. You want to consume. And a lot of times I think we use sex in that way.
Oh, no, I use my period for that. I eat chocolate and ice cream when I'm on my period. I'm like, well, my period, I can do this.
That's yeah.
But
for the most part, though, filling a void, that's interesting. I would love to like look into that. I don't feel like I do that often. However, I have been told that when something doesn't go my way, I immediately look into something else that what I can control, whether it's something else in my job, whether it's immediately booking a flight to be with my friends. It's just something, I guess I escape more than
fill
void.
Yeah, but that's the same. It's kind of the same thing.
Okay.
You're like when you're avoiding something that you'd rather not feel. Like it could be fear, anxiety, insecurity, loneliness, like depression, any of those things. And you're reaching for something else. So it's okay. Like fuck who you want to fuck. But just be conscious of like, are you fucking this person?
Because you want to.
You actually want to and you want to feel pleasure. You're just fucking them because you feel so shitty about yourself. That is the only way that you can like validate basically your worth. Because I think a lot of us use sex in that way. So when we're mostly, as a culture, I think we're a lot of us are mostly wired to use sex that way. And that's the message we receive all the time.
Sometimes like, too, when you're like not feeling, I didn't even tell you, but I'll bring it up. I had sex recently. I posted this picture of me in a robe with like a ponytail and it was like really cute and everybody was feeling it. And I ended up having sex that night. And I remember in the morning, I had fun. I wasn't feeling down about it. But I said, did I have sex because he made me feel pretty? Like, was that why I fucked this guy? Like I was feeling super sexy that night and I was feeding into it. And I thought about your book because I was like, what was the difference here? Like, was I feeling down? Because literally I only got dressed up to take a cute picture and go out. So I was already feeling like shit. So I boosted it up with that, right? So then the next thing that happens is I have sex. Did I do that because I needed to feed into that? Was I filling a void or was I actually making an active choice to fuck somebody? And I couldn't figure it out.
Well, I don't think you need to judge yourself is the thing. Is like, you just notice it. Like, you don't have to beat yourself up over it, over like eating the pizza because you feel like shit or whatever it is. Like, you just notice it. You just
you acknowledge
like,
it so that
you, just
you
acknowledge
know,
it so you,
you know when you feel like this again, time, you don't make that same.
Or you just notice that pattern and you start to think about like, oh, if I'm mostly using sex in this way, maybe I'm not tapped into like the full potential of what my pleasure could be with sex.
Mm.
It's kind of like reframing the way we think about things.
I do think I opened my chakras up. Whenever I have sex,
I opened your chakras up when I took you to that Kundalini class.
What the fuck is Kundalini?
You learned how to.
What is Kundalini?
She took me in Beard Bay to a fucking Kundalini class. And it was so funny because after we took
it. So we just going to keep saying Kundalini class. What the hell is Kundalini?
Kundalini is like Kundalini yoga, but it's this idea. It's very, very ancient. It's like like thousands and thousands of years
Liz
old.
Liz would take us. It was 2 fucking hours, Mandy.
A 2-hour yoga class?
Wasn't it 2 hours?
But it's not yoga like you're like in downward dog and up and down. It's really about breath work.
I'll show you what it looks like.
And muscle control.
This is not a fucking
If you're looking on YouTube, she's. Hold on, I can.
This is. How
it's not all like that.
Was they handing out Tic Tacs? Like a whole bunch of people doing this?
This is pre-COVID. It's pre-COVID.
Clearly, it don't exist no more. So you can't. That thing gone. Ain't no Kundalini.
I was so fucking tired. My mouth was tired. I was getting and like, mind you, he's tall, so he was like this. He was fucked up and Liz is like in her zone, like eyes rolling back. And like him and I kept looking at each other once in a minute, but I was liking it. It just was taking too long.
You did 2 hours of that?
Okay, so you can get high from you're using your breath.
You're high because you're excelling so much. Like you done lost your breath. That's why you're high. You lightheaded.
You can bring yourself to orgasm using your breath.
Did you orgasm?
No, we weren't learning that technique then. But I teach it in my book.
Half of the time.
Yeah, I teach it in my book. Well, what Kundalini yoga does is it opens up. So they say Kundalini yoga is like imagining your spine like a serpent. Like a serpent, you know, so the head of the serpent is here and the tail is at your perineum, you know, or your anus. Okay, she's falling asleep. But it's basically like waking up the sexual energy. It's waking up your sexual energy through your body.
I don't know if it's because he was there or if my mouth was open, but like I thought about sex more than I had in any other
way. You know what else makes me really wet? Just getting a random massage. And when they get into them thighs, I'd be like, well, I hope they don't feel I'm getting wet down here. I could just get massaged instead of.
But the thing with the breath work is like, so DMT is the thing that makes you feel high, right? And apparently you can create that with the more you're doing that kind of breathing.
100%.
Which I do believe. We actually just had a vanilla shit maybe a couple months ago where one of the tricks to obtaining an orgasm is control of breath.
I write about it all in my book.
So
control of breath.
I know I'm just making jokes now, but we literally did just have that conversation here. It was like a Vice or Cosmo article, but literally where people feel like they haven't been able to achieve orgasm. A lot of it, first, you have to be really comfortable with your partner, but just being comfortable in the flow of how you're breathing. If you're like tense and your breathing or your heart rate is not at a normal pace, you're probably not going to reach orgasm.
Well, because most of the time we're not breathing. Like just on an average day, we're holding our
suck in my stomach.
Yeah, no, we're holding our breath a lot. We're not taking deep breaths. And also when you take deep breaths, but you also learn to use your engage your pelvic floor muscles. And it doesn't matter if you have a penis or a vulva, you have pelvic floor muscles. It's the muscles that you squeeze if you're trying to stop peeing. Basically. So it leads to like heightened orgasms. It leads to like less incontinence as you grow older, meaning like not pissing yourself.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like really good to know about your pelvic floor muscles.
If you want to learn how to use it or you might be confused, make your dick jump and it's around that area. It's the same kind of.
I love a dick jump.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit.
April 25th to 27th with NFL Network draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island opens its gates April 20th.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
What's sex surrogacy? You brought that up in the book, and I was curious if we could talk about that because I haven't heard about that before.
So sex surrogacy, if you're thinking about different kinds of like sex therapy, like a sex therapist, there's adjacent sex therapists, like sex surrogates, that will basically kind of teach you in a more physical way.
Girl, fuck your man.
You lie.
I'm not lying.
For real?
I'm not lying.
Wait,
yeah.
Sex surrogate sounds like I'll fuck your man if you can't.
Yeah.
Not exactly like that. It could be like a lot of times they'll work with people who are disabled, for example, that may have like trouble finding partners or like having intimacy with people or need to learn different ways of getting off.
Is there a certification for this?
Yeah, there's certification. Wow. Like, no, it's a legitimate thing. Or they could be like, some people may have like trauma. You know, they may have vaginismus and they may not like be able to come, or they may have erectile dysfunction. It could be like a whole host of things that are normal things that happen to everyone. But like sex surrogacy is like can be a more like hands-on type of therapy.
Is it expensive? Like if someone listening is like, let me look into it.
Like, what is, there's you know all what? Different levels. There's all different levels of sex surrogacy.
Okay.
They just saw you digging your ass on a YouTube.
Yeah. I really pulled right from my vault. I couldn't even breathe.
So like, it's not sex work.
Okay.
So you're not hiring a sex worker to have sex with you. It's
what if
like,
you're not disabled?
No, I'm saying a lot of people use sex surrogates for all different kinds of reasons.
She said even ED, vaginismus, like, UVG, vaginismus,
all different types of
things.
That's
why I would wonder like what the differences would be, not only in what you engage in for, say, I assume an hourly rate, like,
yeah,
what that
like
rate
comparable
would look
to therapy, comparable to therapy.
Ooh,
but there's
the
more.
Oh,
but there's
no, my therapist's expensive.
Well, I think it's like, you know, I think it depends on where you are and what you're doing. And sometimes sex surrogacy can include touch. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, it's all sorts of different things. And like, you obviously have a conversation with that person, an intake form before you
is
start
that something
anything
that is
talk
covered?
About consent.
Is it covered by
insurance? I highly doubt that.
Okay. All right.
I highly doubt that.
I was just asking for the people.
I think, you know, sex is still something that we're so squeamish about.
Abortions are covered by insurance.
Well, not for long.
But what's crazy is like IVF, even freezing your eggs, there's a lot of fertility things that still aren't covered by some insurances, or you have to go through outside sources.
But by the way, those are going to go away too. If Roe v. Wade, if there's a nationwide abortion ban, IVF, egg freezing is all going to come under that same rule of
really?
Yes, because it's discarding embryos. And none of those assisted reproductive technologies would have been possible if Roe v. Wade wasn't made legal in 1973. So
I didn't
all
know
these,
it was affecting all of that.
Oh, yes. So all these like millennial companies that were promoting like freeze your eggs on Instagram, they should have been like out there, and they should be now like really in, you know, talking about these things because it's already happening in a lot of states.
Wow.
Where people are not allowed to.
So insane.
Yeah, it's a real thing. That's why it's not like the issues at stake are not just about abortion. It's really about so much more. And a lot
of rights.
Reproductive rights.
By the way, I had a conversation with, we talked about it on our Patreon, but found out I have fibroids and was talking about egg freezing. And I talked about it briefly with Mandy. And when I brought it up to Liz, you've really fucked my head up the last week because, for one, you're such a liberal person when it comes to any kind of science, medicine, or women's health rights, that when you told me egg freezing is such a capitalist thing, I really never thought of it that way. So basically, I was telling her, like, I have to go freeze my eggs now, right? And you let me talk and you were kind of like, you're young. You didn't even look into how many eggs you have. And it wasn't like it was me more than it was the doctor. I didn't know what to do. He just told me to do this, right? And on top of that, it's like, how do I even know about my own fertility later? Like, why wouldn't I look into other forms of medicine? But when I realized how much it costs to freeze your eggs and how it is a lot of fear-mongering tactics, like, I'm actually leaning the other way. My mom had me at 40. Not that I plan to have a kid at 40, but like, egg freezing is so common to talk about now that you just think you should be doing it immediately when you're like younger and single because the eggs are healthier. But like, why didn't I think about acupuncture or even taking hormones or any other shit besides let me freeze these eggs?
Well, I think also because a lot of doctors, you know, they only have 8 hours of sexual intake training in medical school.
What?
Yeah. So a lot of times, like, I have 13 nieces and nephews. I have four brothers and a sister. But, you know, we don't all have the same mom, but I've been around a lot of kids and of different ages, and they all come to me when they first get, like, you know, their IUD or birth control, and they just tell me these things, and like, the gynecologist doesn't even ask any questions about like their sexual history, their medical history. They just like, here, take this. And people aren't informed enough about their own bodies that they don't think to ask questions.
And it's so
especially black women have a really high rate of fibroids.
30%.
Yeah, which I was surprised that you didn't know, like, before coming into that no one has told you that, you know, because.
So I knew that black women get fibroids, but not that
it's a huge rate.
And then even on top of that, saying I didn't even know, you're right. Like, I had a friend of mine who had fibroids and only knew because she went in for egg freezing, because you have to request an ultrasound.
Yeah, but gynecologists should be they should be informed on a lot of different issues, including like, when it comes to racial disparity in medical care, they should be trauma informed. And like, we should know these things and question them, like, oh, you want me to spend like $30,000 on freezing eggs or whatever amount it costs? Like, ask some questions first. It's now just being sold and like, or, you know, not for long, right? I think realistically with the way the country's going, but it's like packaged as this thing that makes you a fucking girl boss or some shit. Like, freeze your eggs, like, go have a career. And it's just not that simple.
Well, no, not only that, it's unfortunate that there was a recent study done, and I can't remember the percentage. I actually did have a conversation about this on Period Sis, but recently they've said for black women who have frozen their eggs or are looking to go through IVF with a sperm donor specifically, that now black women have to pretty much bank on not having a full black child because there's not enough either eggs or sperm donors that are black to fully, you know, create a full black child. And I did a whole episode where a woman who was a kindergarten teacher, and it was so sad, like, she made me cry during the episode because she was talking about how she's everyone's mom as a kindergarten teacher. And in terms of her seeking eggs, like, it wouldn't be a surrogate. It would just be her receiving an egg from someone else because she had the body of a 57-year-old and she was like 28 or 30 or something like that. And the conversation literally led into the fact that there's not even a lot of black women able to donate eggs. So the fact that we may be reaching an era where you can't freeze your own, but also for women who aren't producing eggs that want to go out and get eggs, they don't even have the option to get black eggs or black sperm donors anymore.
Well, I mean, gynecology, like, the father of the speculum was a racist motherfucker who was experimenting on slaves. So a lot of the things that we take for granted as like science and fact is based on really broken white supremacist systems, which I go into in this book, that like the whole model of sex education and like the medical sexual system that we're dealing with is based on a broken system. And it's not like, it's not teaching like young women and young black women. These are the things that like you need to know to ask your gynecologist, and it's not teaching gynecologists and doctors. These are the things that you need to know to ask your patients.
Yeah.
Do you have any resources that you used for your book besides like just your experience that you leaned on?
I have been in the space for like a really long time.
And in the library.
And the library.
You've just been collecting.
But I also, working with the chair of sex and relationship therapy at UCLA for like a number of years. I work with like a lot of professionals and do a lot of contemporary research. But also I think the history is important, like knowing about the white supremacist patriarchal history of sex and of the medical system is really important because it shows us why we get to a place today when the rate for fibroids for Black women, for example, is so high because they're ignoring you.
Right. I mean, outside of that, they just also came out with a study that hair straightening products like the relaxers and the perms that are used a lot on Black women with 4C hair to make it straight actually is causing as well higher risks of uterine cancer and breast cancer for Black women as well. So like there's just a lot of things that are now coming to where we've even been forced to look like the European standard of mm-hmm. beauty a lot for Black women. And even how we show up, they just passed the Crown Act here in New York couple of years ago. And so now even the products that we were using just to appear aesthetically beautiful to society are also leading to a lot of these harmful diseases.
Put Mandy Scoofy on.
Oh, I mean, I've been doing a lot of research.
No, she's been dating the Black Muslim guys.
Don't do that. He is not talking to me about hair. Unfortunately, I have Tammy's white ass hair, so I never had to have a relaxer or perm.
Unfortunately.
No. Bitch, I be mad as it's thin. That's why I'm a bald headed bitch now.
It gets long
and I'm like, perm it's or giving relaxer, dead ends. Like,
a lot of people are so lucky to have grown up like Gen Z and the younger generation of kids because their moms are not putting shit in their hair.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't have a friend I know that's putting anything in their kid's hair. Whereas, like, my mom, and it's not her fault, she's just like, all right, you want me to put you in a ponytail? Like, we're going to use this pack of relaxer. And, like, it takes you on a really shitty hair journey. And it's honestly just, we have to unlearn this shit. But anyway, besides hair, the last thing I want to talk about is transcendent sex, because the day I told you I was crying over Love is Blind is the day I fucked that guy.
You cried over Love is Blind, the TV show?
I was like, I thought it was like a reality dating show.
I love when people are like falling in love.
Oh my God.
I think you were like a little bit hungover.
Girl, watch The Notebook.
Maybe I would. I don't know how I cried. Everybody said that to me. You said, is it sad?
I mean, and here I go. I mean, I've cried on the first 48 before. It's really sad.
But anyway, one of the guys in the pods, and if no one's heard of Love is Blind, basically it's an experiment where two people meet and talk and they've never seen each other physically and they fall in love. This guy is talking about how he had transcendent sex. I'm like, isn't that from Liz's book? And it was like the last chapter. Can you explain transcendent sex to us?
So like I said, like breath work can make you high, right? But sex can too. You have an altered state of consciousness. Like before you have sex and after you have sex, you feel like a really intense orgasm. You don't feel exactly the same in that moment. You're sort of like almost like out of body. Mm. But transcendent sex is this idea that if you really, the premise of the whole book is linking your sexuality and your spirituality. So if you can begin to like reframe things that way, then I feel like it is possible to experience really heightened states of bliss and ecstasy with sex.
So that is what transcendent sex is?
In a way.
So it's sex on shrooms.
I was going to say,
I'm like, girl,
reaching it without the shrooms.
It's reaching it without the shrooms.
So the galaxy lights. I reach it just with the galaxy lights sometimes too. What I do. I like it. And then playing ocean waves. You know, I love it. Oh, I love both
things. We interviewed somebody that told us he meditates to an Egyptian drum circle before he fucks. And I was kind of sitting there like laughing, but at the same time, I'm like, well, you know what? The sex you have probably is better than mine, because if you're really taking all that time to prep for sex and with the person,
mm-hmm.
that's next level shit.
Well, my ex-boyfriend, he wasn't into Kundalini or spirituality or any of that shit, but I got him to do Kundalini yoga with me, which is again about breath work and muscle control.
They got any for like 30 minutes. She said 2 hours. They have shorter sessions?
Yeah, they have shorter sessions.
Okay.
They
told us some shit.
She put you in advance.
I definitely took them to an advanced class. But she can handle it.
But also,
she can handle it.
You know, when you're like, oh, let me sign up. She's like, I got it. I couldn't see shit before we got there. I was like, also, it might have been 90 minutes, but.
It wasn't 2 hours.
No, it was 90 minutes.
She's exaggerating because it makes the story better.
It was interesting because I'm laughing about it, but also when you start taking it serious, it does work.
It does work. So we were doing this like breath work and this Kundalini together every morning for like a week straight. And I had cervical orgasms so deep, I fucking blacked out because of the sex, we were so connected.
Kundalini, you knew. I'm trying to, I want to wake up in a hospital and be like, what happened? The guy's like, I don't have the shit out of you. Oh, wow. Put me back. Death by orgasm, great way to go.
Well, you know that the French word for orgasm, la petite mort,
means the little death.
Yeah,
you know,
so it's that idea that like,
but you ain't know what it meant.
Yeah,
yeah, dude.
She's been to France.
She's been to France. Oh, we know. Everyone watching this show knows that she has been to France.
You know what? Okay. I don't know if you'd like to join at some point in time, but if you did, Liz, you'll get it. You know, I walk the streets. It's like the red.
You eat some snails.
I love an escargot.
She goes shopping.
I just had some. Every time I go to Soho, I go to the little spot we went to for love it. Give me the escargot, please. Where is my bread?
You know, all my French friends, like when I'm eating escargot, they're like, Weezy, like, you can't eat it every meal. Like, it's not even meant to
I love it. It's so filling, actually. Snails is more filling than crudo. Like, I love, like, some raw fish. Snails be getting me.
That's because they're, like, soaked in butter.
Oh,
and garlic.
Oh, is it the butter that makes
it's so
it?
Good. And, like, a little bit
is that what's
garnish.
Making it filling?
When they
yeah, is that the meat?
Is the beurre.
No, it's so small.
Bitch, I be full. That thing.
And then also you're taking the bread and you're stopping it up. It's a thing. Anyway.
We're about to orgasm.
We didn't
off
even
the
talk about the sex ed. I was just going to say, tell people where to find you. But yeah, please tell
them. Yeah, you can find us. We have a podcast, The Sex Ed, that I host. You can find us on the internet at The Sex Ed, where we have tons of resources, a Sexpedia, which is like
come on, Sexpedia,
a living Wikipedia of sex terms. And you can find us on Instagram at The Sex Ed and me at Goldilocks G.
How often, real quick, do you update as well that Sexpedia? Because there's always
all the time
new words
all the time. And I love throwing in things like strobe light honey.
What the
like
heck?
I love
what
some like
strobe light honey.
You guys are obviously not familiar with 90s hip hop.
Girl,
we were born fucking.
I was born
yeah, but
in the
you
90s.
Don't listen to like old hip hop.
Yeah,
okay. Strobe light honey is a song name.
No, it's like a colloquialism. It's like a slang term.
What the hell is a colloquialism?
It's like a slang term.
Colloquialism.
Did I just pull some white shit? Some white
shit? Colloquialism.
Not a white shit word. Wait, what song is that?
It's a library word. Lots of songs. Strobe light honey. You need to ask Amir about what a strobe light honey is.
No, because let me tell you, Liz. Everybody wants to joke about how I hang with a legend and don't know none of his songs. I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah, but he will school you on 90s hip hop and he'll explain
intense,
to you.
Though. That's my point.
Honey is a honey that looks hot under the strobe lights, but not so good when you get her home from the club. That's a strobe light honey.
Isn't that a butterhead?
Well, it's just an updated term.
Butterface, butterhead, tip drill.
Everything looks good.
Girl, yeah. We had tip drill by the early 2000s. It turned into tip
no,
drill.
No, we're 2000s
must
hip-hop.
Be that's ass because it ain't her face. You know
but if you listen to like Tribe Called Quest or like De La Soul.
I know De La Soul, girl. Okay, don't come on now.
Well, they're not available. You know, they're not available on streaming. You can't stream them on Spotify.
So I'm not a
so am I supposed to get on YouTube?
No, like, you're a hot bitch.
Thank you.
Yeah, you look good under like full studio lights.
Is hot bitch in there?
It's not.
What is
maybe
the definition?
It should be. But I did include wet ass pussy, a wop in the book.
Okay.
Which is really footnoted. Cute. Because, you know, middle America might not be familiar with the term.
Oh, man, they know what wop is now. The way the
they don't.
The way the politicians put it on Fox News and CNN and were upset, middle America know what wop is
by now. I feel
like
we think people know, but shout out to Hannah Berner. We've had her on the show. She has a video with her brother, who I think she said lives in Idaho or something. And she starts showing him influencers. One black one. It was Hailey Bieber, Bella Hadid, all kinds
those
of
those influences. Those are fucking $1 million models.
Kylie Jenner, he couldn't name anyone.
No, people just have their own frame of reference. We were out to dinner the other night with someone and we were talking about Charlemagne.
And not Charlemagne.
No, Charlemagne. Charlemagne. She didn't know who he was. And she and I just in unison was like, you don't? We were couldn't believe.
Wow. I'm gonna be honest with you. This person that we were out with is very famous.
Very successful business
person. I was shocked, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I at one point I thought it was a joke. And then Liz was like, want to give her some.
I was like, you don't listen to the Breakfast Club? She's like, what?
No.
Oh.
I just think people have like their, everybody has like a different frame of reference.
I mean, that's the same way like for me. I don't know these TikTokers. My homegirls will hit me up about like certain rappers, baby mamas. Who? I don't know who this is. I'm also not.
In the Breakfast Club, I don't think we can compare to that because it's its own, like how many years? 15 now?
Yeah.
Like, come on, bro.
There's
and
a
also
lot,
he's but, a mogul.
But there's right. a lot of people like on Barstool, like, or even podcasters. When I'm looking at like the top 50, there's so many people that garner millions and millions of views. I'll be like, never heard of
it. Bro, people have like, shit the bed about like a lot of white podcasts. But I told you, Dear Media has been coming to my studio. And Andrew, not Schultz, I'm thinking Santino. You know who that is?
I'm still freaking out about the story about the one white.
Oh, don't talk about
it. I don't want to say her name.
Somebody asked me to fetch some water,
Mandy.
Wait, they said fetch water?
Yeah, she used the word fetch.
Like he was...
Fetch me some water.
Was she from Europe or something? Like, does she have an accent?
No,
maybe fetch meant something else. I wasn't there. No, she's American.
Oh, she's American.
But here's the thing. She really said it like...
Fetch me some water.
Yeah, fetch me some water.
Oh, but like... I've added shit now.
One of the engineers was like, oh, this is easy. That's what I was talking about. Oh, hey, would you be fetching me some water?
Maybe she was trying to make fetch a word. Maybe she had just, you know what I mean?
She just watched Mean Girls.
She just watched Mean Girls. No. Maybe she was trying to make fetch it, you know?
I don't remember how, I remember telling her, I don't really fetch around here, but. But like, no, the podcast Tiger Belly with Bobby Lee, Andrew Santino, Whiskey Ginger. These are huge podcasts that like I'd never heard of. And I do think we get in our own box. And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't know who we are, right?
Absolutely.
But we're big in our own sphere and like it's that kind of shit. But I do my best to try to like figure out across the board who the people are.
You know what I mean? But sometimes like you have to break down language for people or you have to like explain things more. That's why in the book there's all these footnotes. No, I had to argue with my publisher that lost in the sauce is like a real term that people use. They're like, that isn't a thing. I was like, yes, it is. That's also a hip hop phrase. Me too.
Especially on development calls. I'm like, okay, everybody's getting a little lost in the sauce here.
But I'm dealing with a self-help publisher who publishes like Wim Hof and Brene Brown and like
Brene
Not Han.
Is one of the names though they don't, that people don't know either. Maybe that listen to Horrible and is.
She's huge. She's amazing and she talks a lot about vulnerability. But what I'm saying is, people who are in the self-help space, they may not be so familiar with hip hop.
Right.
Some of them, as it turns out, because I had a lot of hip hop references in this book that the copy editor was like, I don't understand.
Girl, I hope you send them the Google reference. Here you go. Don't ask me again. We keeping it in. Next.
Whenever someone tells me they don't understand something I'm saying and I'm in an email, I just always read it. I'm like, she is calling me the N-word. Right here. This is it, bitch. This is it.
Liz, please also let us know where everyone can purchase your book before we get out of here.
They can buy the book anywhere you buy books.
There we go. Ooh, yeah. Another flex.
Audible. Everywhere. No, I mean, I feel like most people buy books on the internet now. Although Amazon, I think it's really good to support your local bookseller. But
okay.
They're, you know, but yeah, Amazon, Audible, my publisher Sounds True, our site, The Sex Ed.
I love bookshop. It. I love it. I love it. Well, 5 years later, thank you for coming back on Horrible
thank
Decisions.
Thank you for having me.
This was so much fun. And guys, we hope that you enjoyed this episode as well. Make sure to support us and to get bonus content. You head on over to Patreon. That is patreon.com/ Horrible Decision.
We have hundreds of episodes on there. Hundreds.
Hundreds. Literal hundreds plus BTS. And if you are one of our top tier patrons, once a month we do a town hall where you get to join us on Zoom and be a part of an episode. So again, make sure you join us at patreon.com/ Horrible Decisions to check out what that sounds like. We're leaving you with a 5-minute bonus clip after this. And this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye.
Isn't it crazy how we used to think going out of the country for stuff meant it was bad, and now it is actually...
I mean, in 2012, I got lipo and DR.
No, so people, I mean, people think going out of the country for surgeries isn't bad, but it's literally like some of... I don't... Like, anyone I know that's even rich goes to Columbia for their D. Like, I used to think it was the cheap way out, but it's literally...
I ain't gonna hold you. Definitely cheaper.
Not the cheap, though, bro. They're more skilled.
Well, no, they're definitely skilled. I mean, it depends on who you go to, because there are people getting bad teeth done overseas.
I like Drea's teeth, too.
And I know I was going to go to her doctor, but I decided that I did not want my teeth fully shaven. I'm really against like having little tiny teeth. So I found a doctor who does not shave down your teeth drastically. He also doesn't do chiclets. It's the same time frame. So I'm excited. I may share that journey with y'all when I go so that y'all can see the before and after and everything. But that's kind of my birthday gift to myself. Last year, I got the Rolex. That was my birthday gift. This year, it'll be teeth. But I just realized, too, the stress that comes with planning. And I don't even want my friends to stress. I don't want to stress. I just went to Chris's 40th birthday, and it was amazing. Got to see Doug.
Who's Crystal?
Everybody was Crystal.
Oh, I thought you meant your Crystal was 40.
No, Crystal from the Reed.
Girl, and I was like, not Crystal just, Red.
But even like just knowing how many people traveled in town and setting it up because it was at the Santes, and it was just like,
nice.
Oh no, I don't want no birthday party. I'm good. Like,
this work.
I'm good. It's coordinating. I'm good.
One of my friends did shout out to Miko. He's actually a talent coordinator for Fuse. He set up like, and I missed it because I was so sick last week after I got back, but he was basically like, did a Crazy Rich Asian, he's Asian by the way, or Crazy Rich Asians theme party, got a sprinter and all this stuff for his friends. And he was like, he told me to show up at dinner. And so when I couldn't make it, he was like, Geely, you don't understand. Like, this is like a really big party. I'm like, why didn't you tell me it was a big party? He's like, because I don't want people to feel overwhelmed. I just told everybody wear black and come to dinner. But like, I decked it out. And he's like, I spent so much money to have my friends enjoy themselves because I really want my birthday to just be around the people that I want to be around. And bro, when I tell you, when I thought about that, I was like, I remember paying for everybody for my 30th birthday, and it was like a $900 bill. And it was Orlando, so that was kind of cheap, because imagine a New York party with 15 people. But like, I was mad I spent the money, but, and I know people wanted to pay, but it kind of felt good to like treat my friends to like actually hosting something. Because if you throw a party at your house, you're buying the liquor, you're supplying most of the food, you're doing all that stuff. So you kind of do spend money. But that's, I think, the only good thing I would say now about making some extra bread is like, that feels good because you don't want the stress of other people feeling like they're stressing on your shit. And then what about your broke friends? I don't know if you have broke friends, but I got some broke friends and I want them niggas to freak out. It's just a lot.
It's crazy because I know I'm going to sound like a dud because I know last week or a couple weeks ago, I talked about how I was shallow and had certain friends that I didn't invite out. I feel so blessed. And I don't know if I just distanced myself or it was just organic. And I brag about my friends so much. I have no broke friends. Like,
that's amazing.
When I go out with my friends, bro, we be fighting to who's putting their card down. And that's so not like...
It's a great feeling to go out with people and know that you can do what you want.
I love it. But then also, that's why I be trying to chill on going out to LA. Because every time I go out to LA, I'll go out with my homegirls. And all my homegirls, because everybody got money and they eat good, bitch, our Billy Katana has never been under $1,200. And bitch, it'd be like four of us.
Bro, I just ate there.
What the fuck?
Last week, it was me, Alex, and an employee. $500.
No. That's what I'm saying. It's disgusting.
How? When the skewers is $9, how do we get there?
I don't know. Nah, them skewers be 22. That's why I don't know what you...
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Lowe's knows home improvement. Lowe's, official sponsor for the 2024 NFL Draft.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island opens its gates April 20th.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.